Lord, we thank you for your presence here today, that you are blessing us even now. God, we don't deserve any of your goodness, but you are good. It's who you are. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. Father, we pray that we'll be mutually edified, we'll be built up, we'll be strengthened, we'll be encouraged today. We'll receive what we need, Lord, from you. For, Lord, you know exactly what we need, even better than what we think we need. So, Lord, have your way with us today. Move here, Lord, in hearts and lives, and bring transformation, Lord. Change us, Lord. Make us more like you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are who you say you are and that you are here with us today. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are committed to us, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, because you are faithful and true. And we can trust you, because you do not fail. Every single word you say is life. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Give us ears to hear your voice, Lord, that we may speak the very oracles of God, the truth and love. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness there. Oh, Lord, you've always been there. Always been true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Aren't you glad the Lord is there? That he's with us? Hallelujah. That the light has come. You know, we've heard, if you've been walking with the Lord any time, amount of time, you've heard a lot of Christmas messages. So how do you present the Christmas message differently each time and still say the same thing, right? Any of you have preached, you say, well, I can't give the same thing I gave last year, so I got to. Well, how many of the Holy Spirit has a way of just working things out, you know, and downloading into you what you really, really need? And the bottom line of all this is that this is all made possible. Amen. Where we're at today in the Lord, in our salvation, because of the birth of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ. And so really the message of Christmas is hope. And it's good to have hope, isn't it? Because we live in a world of hopelessness, of darkness and of despair and of brokenness. We're all broken people that Jesus came to redeem and to heal and to restore and bring us into right relationship, amen, with Father. And that's the mercy of God, that it was God so loving us, even while we were yet sinners. God so loving us that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came. Jesus willingly laid down his life for you. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. That's the love of God, that the Lord gave himself for us. The one who didn't deserve to die died for those who did deserve to die. As a matter of fact, we were already dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. And that's why everyone must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of life from above. Amen. The Spirit of Christ in you, in your heart. You must have Christ in you. If you do not have Christ in you, you do not have life. You do not have eternal life. It's very important that you know that you have eternal life, that you have that assurance in you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become the sons of God. It's of God and not of us. In fact, it was nothing we could do to make God love us anymore. He had already loved us. But we were lost. We were separated. And because he is holy and we are sinful, there is no way that we could be reconciled to him except through the sacrifice of Jesus. Because God laid upon his own Son the sins of the world. Jesus bore our sins on that cross so that we could receive forgiveness. And forgiveness is a cancellation of debt. Because we owed a debt that we could never pay. Once you sin, you fall short of God's glory. You're separated from God. And so God took care of the sin problem. In the person of his Son, Jesus came and willingly laid down his life for us, paid the price that we deserved to pay so that we could go free. Hallelujah. Free for what reason? Free to serve him. Amen. Free to live for him. Hallelujah. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. When the law could not save us, because we had all broken the law, in mercy God gave us his Son as an offering to pay our debt. That's Christmas message. That's good news. That's why Jesus came. And he came to a dark, sin-sick, broken world. And I know we like to sing the songs of Silent Night and pretty pictures and pretty, you know, decorations and all that, but it's actually the darkest time in Israel's history in the world. And God chose a period of time when the world pretty much was in one world order under Roman rule to bring his Son into the picture, to redeem us. The only way we can be saved is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other salvation. There is only one name, amen, given among men, whereby we must be saved. There's no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus himself said, I am the way, John 14:6, the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. It's only through Jesus that we can enter into new life. And that's God's heart, is that no one would perish, but that all would come to repentance. That means we will turn to him, the only one that can save. Turn away from our sin and turn to Jesus, amen. That we might receive that forgiveness, that pardon, amen. That we might be made right with our Creator and enjoy fellowship, restored fellowship with our Creator God. Amen. Again, hallelujah. We are living certainly in another period of time, I believe, that is very dark. There's a lot of hopelessness, obviously. There's all kinds of crazy things, insane things happening in political arenas around the world, and man is just running amok. And, you know, how many would believe that chaos is a result of trying to live independent of your Creator? Man is trying to do it on his own. And now we see the fruit, the results of living independent of God. Even in America, how far have we fallen from where we once were? How many know that God wants to restore America? God wants to heal this land. God wants to forgive. Amen. And it begins with you and I. It begins with the church, turning back to God, confessing, amen, renouncing our sinful ways, toppling every idol, eliminating everything that we put before us in God, or anything that takes the place of God in our hearts. Get rid of those things. Get right with God, because others are going to be influenced by what you personally do in your life. Some people think, well, what I do is not going to bother anybody else. That is a lie from the pit of hell. What you do in your personal life affects others. God wants his church to be holy. Amen. He paid for us with his own blood that we might be pure. Amen. That we might be, if you will, his bride, and that we might be a people, amen, that represent him in this world. Hallelujah. God is holy, and therefore we must also be holy. And we must not have any other gods before him. Now we understand that it was while we were yet sinners, Christ died. We were enemies, Christ died. So it was God's initiative, God first taking that initiative, amen, to provide for us a means of being delivered from ourselves, amen, and the sinful condition that we were born in, and that is through the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Again, God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So the sin problem, once again, has been taken care of and paid in full. But people need to understand that there is mercy. Amen. That which you don't deserve. Amen. Even the grace of God is available. Amen. If you will return to your God through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you will be willing to renounce your sinful ways and give your life to Jesus. Amen. He will forgive you and he will make you a child of his own. Hallelujah. You will experience what's called the new birth. You will be born again. And when you are born again, your desires will change. You will love God. You will want to serve God. You will want to live for God. When Christ is in you, it makes all the difference, you see. Some people are just trying to serve God and live for God in themselves, and that's impossible. We can only live for God by God, who dwells within us, and our reliance upon his grace to live the life we're called to. It's not of us, it's by his grace that we are saved. Amen. Man, we look around, there's threats of war, financial insecurity, health fears, crime rates skyrocketing, criminals pouring through our open southern border, just to name a few. Has anybody been paying attention? Is anybody a little concerned about what you're seeing going on in this nation? How many know that politics alone is not going to solve the problem? Amen. I believe in that we need to be politically involved, amen, where we can and what we're called to do. But we understand that the root problem, amen, is just not bad policies. The root problem is the heart of man that is desperately wicked. Amen. It's sin sickness, and that's what we see. And so God wants to resolve that. God wants to heal. He wants to restore. He wants to forgive. He wants to settle that problem in people's hearts if they're willing to trust him and come to him and give their lives to him. I believe God wants us to light up the night. He wants his church to rise and shine in this hour. He wants his people, amen, to return and put away the idols, put away the sin, amen, and even the good things that have become hindrances in our walk. How many know that good things can become bad things if you put them before God? I believe that God is turning up and has been turning up and allowing things to go in this direction because God wants his people awake. When we awake and we become that light again, we become that salt, we become that influence, amen, then the world around us that's also wandering around in darkness trying to figure it all out is going to know that there's somebody that has an answer. There's somebody that has hope in the midst of all this. There's someone that actually has joy in the midst of all this gloom and doom. How many know that God doesn't want his people caught up in the gloom and doom? He wants us to rejoice in him, amen, knowing that God, our God, amen, has us in the palm of his hand. Hallelujah. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So it's in the time sometimes when things are the darkest that God intervenes. Israel was in a time of great darkness under oppression from the Romans. And at that time, God decided to intervene and a light had come. The dawn had come. Amen. The day spring on high, which literally means dawn. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Had come. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So you think about it, the Lord's first coming was likened to a sunrise in the darkness. Light had come. And you know, we sing the song, Peace on Earth, Goodwill Towards Men. And it's a beautiful song, and the message is actually the angelic message, amen, that was sung at that time. But think about this. How many are seeing peace on earth and goodwill towards men? Well, does it exist? Yes, absolutely. But where does that peace exist? In us. We are the peacemakers. We are the salt. We are the light of the world. God has called His church to represent Him, amen, and to bring hope to the hopeless. Just like Jesus had come, amen, to rescue all of us who are trapped in our sins with no way of escape, no way that we could ever come clean except that someone would take our place. We were in debtor's prison, amen. We were condemned criminals, condemned to die, and God in His mercy sent His Son, amen, as an offering to pay our debt, hallelujah, that we might be broken free from that prison of sin, hallelujah, be liberated and to be filled with the power of God, amen, the Holy Spirit, that we might have joy and we might be an expression of God's joy in this world. People are looking for happiness. They're looking for joy. You're just looking for joy in all the wrong places. People are looking for heaven. They don't understand heaven, but they know that something is missing. There's an emptiness, there's a void. But heaven is Jesus in my heart. That's true heaven. Heaven would not be heaven without Jesus. Amen. And so people are trying to fill up the void with worldly things, earthly things, temporal things that never truly satisfy. You use it for a season and it's over. Now what? You look for something else to try to satisfy yourself with, but you're never satisfied. Why? Because we are created for a relationship with God. Amen, Almighty God. And it's only possible through the redemption that is in Christ. Only through Jesus Christ can we be reconciled to God, to have our sins forgiven. Amen. To be restored into right fellowship where we will experience personally the joy of God, hallelujah, and be an expression of His joy in this world. If we would simply cooperate with God, if we would simply listen to His voice, we will do well. We will avoid a lot of sorrows. If we will simply listen to what God said, amen, He loves us. And He gave us His word because He loves us. He didn't give us the word to make us miserable. But He gave us His word so we can be delivered from our misery. And to the freedom of Christ, the freedom to be able to live free from the condemnation, from the guilt, from the shame of sin. Hallelujah. And to be an expression of His heart in this world, to be salt, to be light to the nations. Hallelujah. How many ever heard the expression, the darker the night, the brighter the dawn? And that's what gives me hope, is even though things seem to be getting darker, I believe simultaneously there is a dawn rising, that Christ is rising up within His people, that as things get darker around us, we're going to shine even brighter. And where iniquity abounds, His grace much more abounds. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We are not to be influenced by the gloom and the doom of what's going on around us. Amen. We are to be aware so that we can intercede and stand in the gap, amen, between God and men. And cry out and call God's heaven, amen, His kingdom reign into the earth realm to petition our Father. It's through the mercy of God that the dawn broke in a time of great darkness. In Matthew 4:16, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Have you seen that great light? And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Who are the people who sat in darkness? Well, historically, it would be the inhabitants of Galilee. They lived in spiritual darkness and blindness. They saw the light. The light came. Amen. That was Christ. It was Christ Himself. He came as a light into this world. And today, those who are in darkness are those who do not have the light of Christ. Who are not in Christ. Amen. So without Christ, we're already separated. We're already in darkness. And how many know that there is a light that's actually darkness? The enemy has a light too, but it's actually darkness. He is a deceiver. And so we need to be very cautious that we're not relying on, depending on our own goodness to be made right with God. Because what we need is God's goodness, God's righteousness, in order to be right with God. You and I cannot be good enough to merit God's favor. Amen. We're only made right through the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. Amen. And then when your heart is made right with God, amen, you will have a different desire working in you. You'll have a heart that wants to live for and please God. When you are in right standing with God, you'll want to honor God. And as a matter of fact, when you have been forgiven of your sins, you will have an appreciation for Him. You'll have a gratitude in your heart that will compel you to want to love Him back and give yourself back for Him. Yeah. To whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. When I was born again, I just wanted to serve the Lord. I just wanted to tell people about Jesus. Amen? When you have discovered something wonderful, you want to share it with others. And it was the Lord that works in us both to will and to do of His pleasure. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, Theos, the supreme deity is what that means, was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." This is a New Testament creed that they would recite to keep them, amen, understanding and keep them in the right doctrine, if you will. That God, Theos, God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word, amen, that was in the beginning with the Father, became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. God became a man. God took upon Himself a body in the likeness of sinful Adam, yet without sin, and became our substitute. For us, He died. For God so loved us that He gave His best for us. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus is the light of the world. In Him, there is no darkness at all. The light came. The light talked to them. The light preached to them. The light healed them. Amen. He opened the eyes of their understanding that they may know Him who is the true light that came into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And when we were born of His Spirit, amen, then we also bear that light. Amen. The light of Christ in us. And He said, "Let that light shine forth from your life." Amen. "Let His light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen. So if the light has dawned in you, amen, it brings revelation. It brings understanding of what is true, of what is authentic, of what is real. You shall know what is real, what is authentic, what is true, and that truth will set you free from lies and from deception of the enemy. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Hallelujah. John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world." Jesus came into the world. He was speaking of Himself. He declared Himself to be that light. "And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." This is the thing, guys. All of us, amen, have sinned and fallen short. The glory, the mercy of God will be extended to those who have an honest heart, who are willing to come clean. Amen. It's like so many today that go to stand before a judge, and the judge asks them, how do you plead? And majority of the time, what is the plea? Not guilty. How many know that there's no mercy for those who lie to God? How many know God already knows what you did? He's just waiting for you to be honest, to come clean, and to apologize and say, Lord, I've sinned against you. Have mercy on me. Please forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me one of your own. Have mercy, God. And you know what's happened? Up the price for that sin has already been paid. Jesus had already accomplished that. Jesus has shed his blood. That blood is in the mercy seat in heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. So if we will come to Jesus and confess our sins and renounce our sinful ways, he will do what? He'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us. He will deliver us from that thing. Amen. And not hold it against us any longer. Praise God for that. Why? Because the blood is there that speaks better things than that of Abel. It cries out for mercy. Amen. For those who will be honest and not come to God and say, God, I'm a good person. I've done all these good things. But a person who beats their breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I'm not righteous. I know I'm not good. But God, forgive me and make me righteous. Make me good in your sight. The only righteousness that God accepts is the righteousness of Christ. We are declared righteous in him, but not in ourselves. And when you are in right standing with him, you will seek to honor him. You will want to please the Lord. You will live right when you are right with God. You will live right when you are right with your Maker. I'll say it again. You will live right when you are made right with your Maker. Hallelujah. And if you sin, you're not going to be happy about it. You're going to be miserable in that thing. You're going to want to get that off your back. Amen. And praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a defense attorney. Cry out to him. The blood is there. The price has already been paid. Just be honest. Amen. With God, and you'll be forgiven. God wants to use you. Amen. The light has come. And as the light has dawned in your heart, if Christ is in you, the day spring from on high is in you, then you are now to be light in this world, to represent him in this world. Jesus said, Matthew 5:14, what? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. There it is again. So let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works. Amen. And glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. So guys, listen, you can't be light if you're not lit. You got to get lit. Amen. To be light. And you need to keep that oil coming, that supply of oil, amen, to the lamp, to stay lit. Stay lit for Jesus, amen, not with the wine of the world. Come on. The greatest miracle of all is our salvation. Hallelujah. It was when we were at our lowest point, when we had nothing to offer our own, everything seemed impossible. How many believe that it's those times when everything seems to be impossible, where there doesn't seem to be any hope? Those are the times that God intervenes. And I say, hold on, hang on to him, keep believing, keep trusting. Amen. Commit your way to him and God will help you. You will reach your destiny as long as you call on Him and trust Him. Amen. He will break you through every situation. He didn't say if you go through the waters, but when you go through the waters, I will be with you. And His grace is sufficient. His grace is more than enough than what we need. Amen. God will hold us and He will keep us. Just trust Him and know that it was God that first loved you. He loved you even when you were in sin. But He couldn't save you until you repented. So the good news is, no matter how hopeless things appear, there is hope in the Lord. No matter how badly you've been treated, no matter how dark and long your night, no matter how badly you've sinned or fallen, you're never without hope because you turn to Jesus. Amen. And God is the God of all hope. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The greatest apostle admitted that he was a sinner, didn't he? He thought he was doing the right thing in his own mind, his own understanding, until he had a true encounter with the living God. Jesus met him, amen, and revealed the fact that he was just as sinful as everybody else. And that he needed God's mercy as well. And because he had received mercy, he took up the mantle. He took up the responsibility, the call of God for his life. And he ran. Amen. He ran with it. Romans 5:6 says, when we were utterly helpless or without strength, right? Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Before we ever called on him. Before we ever did anything wrong or even anything right, come on. Of course, we'd all have done something wrong. But before we ever did anything for him, Jesus went to the cross for us. We need to remember that. Otherwise, we can boast in how good we're doing. And we can shift away from grace into legalism. And legalism says, I'm doing good. Until I'm not. And now I'm no longer good because I just made a mistake. Instead of saying my goodness is not in me, but my goodness is in Christ. Amen. And Christ who makes me good. Amen. So that I can live good. By the grace, by the power of God, I can live good. Amen. And I want to. Why? Because he's working in me both the will and the do. Praise God. And when we get self-righteous, praise God, he turns the heat up. And he gives us another glimpse of ourselves so that we keep things in perspective. Without him, I can do nothing. Amen. When the Lord went to the cross, when he was crucified, all hope seemed to have been lost. The disciples were walking around in despair. They thought Jesus had come to rescue them from Rome and that he was going to establish his kingdom. It was going to be free bread and loaves, amen, and fishes and the whole thing. They thought all this was going to be happening in their time. They did not understand until later that Jesus was referring to his own death when he says, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it back up again. He was talking about that temple, the body of Christ. That was the sacrifice for them and for the world. How many believe that things are not always the way they appear? The disciples, they were confused, they were crushed, they were bewildered, disappointed. How could this happen? On the third day, Jesus rose again. Things are not always the way they appear. We all have those dark times, those seasons in our lives, if you will. Some call it the dark night of the soul. If you haven't gone through it, you will. You're going to have those dark times, amen? But that's when we cry out to him who is our light and we hold fast to him who is faithful to every promise he's made us. Amen. We rely upon God's word and what he has promised, not on how we feel, not on how things appear, but on God's faithfulness. My faith is not in my ability to be faithful, but in the faithfulness of God. And that he is committed to me. And I'm just good to know because, guys, I would have given up on me a long time ago. But God wants his people to put their trust in him and have hope in him and know that he's going to work all these things together for the good to them that love him. Hallelujah. Someday, Jesus will return. Hallelujah. And in that day, every knee shall bow. Right? Even of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and those under the earth. You're not going to be able to hide in any tunnel. No devil or demon is going to escape. Amen. When Jesus returns, every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. God is giving you and I the opportunity today to be saved. Amen. Not only to be saved, but to serve him and to bear fruit unto eternal life. To store up for a treasure in heaven, amen, that will never fade or perish. God wants his people activated. He wants his people lit up for him. He wants his people filled with his spirit. He wants his people, amen, raised up and operating in the authority that he has given them in his name. Amen. To proclaim his kingdom, to declare his word, to reveal his glory. Amen. To cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Amen. God wants to move in power. Amen. Through his church. He wants us to light up the night. The devil is the one that should be trembling at the church. No Christian should be intimidated by the devil. Amen. If you're born of God, if his spirit is within you, amen, greater is the one that's in you. Amen. Don't let the devil push you around. Don't let him bully you. Amen. To conform to what he wants you to do, God has given you the authorization to rebuke him. Amen. To send him on his way. Satan, I reject you. In Jesus' name. You know, a lot of God's people don't understand that they have the authority to do this. And so instead, they just allow the devil to browbeat them. Slap them around, beat them around, torment them. Amen. If you've repented of your sins, you've gotten right with God. Amen. And God has filled you with his Holy Spirit. Then you take the authority he's already given you. Amen. And you send that dude away, man. You tell him to go. I rebuke you. In Jesus' name. I refuse to allow the devil to torment me or my family or my house. And he's not going to have his way in here either. Amen. Because we are God's people and we've been authorized to enforce what Jesus has already done. He's already spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. He's Lord of all. All authority has been given to me, he said, in heaven and earth. Go therefore in my name. Represent me as my ambassadors. And lo, I am with you always. He's always there. One day the Lord is going to establish his throne in Jerusalem. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. How many are looking forward to some judgment and justice? From that time forward, even forever. If human governments fail in this area, guess who's going to succeed? Jesus is going to set it straight, amen, when he comes. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Not might, but will. He shall reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. God's made a promise to national Israel and to spiritual Israel, made up of Jew and Gentile in one new man in Christ. He says in Isaiah 60 and verse 1, I love this. How many know this? Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon you. Arise, shine, saints, because your light
has come. Not will, but has come. The day spring on high has come, amen, to dwell within our hearts. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world, and he's the one that lights up my night and causes me also to be a light in this world. For behold, verse 2, I love this, the darkness shall cover the earth. Do we see that? And deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Guys, it's a promise to national Israel, but it's a promise to spiritual Israel that his glory will be seen upon us. Deep darkness may come upon the world around us, the people around us, amen, but it shall not be upon us. Why? Because we have the light. And you do not have dark days because you have the light. The light of Christ. So let your light so shine, because darkness cannot overcome light. Darkness cannot comprehend it. When you allow the light of Christ to come forth, it will always defeat darkness. When you align your conversation and you speak the truth, amen, and love, hallelujah, that light will proceed forth from you and it will drive out darkness. Darkness cannot stand the light. So as Jesus, before he left, he says, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. And when he gave the Great Commission, he told his disciples, now go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what? Teaching them to observe all things that I taught you. All things. So we are to be just like Jesus in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why we need him. That's why we draw near to him. Amen. So that we will be filled with his holy light, his holy presence. Amen. And it's not something you can make happen. It's something that just happens because you've been with Jesus. Just like the disciples. Amen. Ignorant, unlearned fishermen, but yet they took note of them. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. There was something different about them. How many know that's the answer, guys, is being with Jesus, walking with Jesus every day, amen? Calling on him, hallelujah, and his grace will be sufficient for you. He is more than you need. Thank you, Jesus. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not to be shaken by any of these things that we see happening. Don't let the enemy get into you, amen, with all that stuff. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your focus heavenward, amen, and receive from God the grace on a daily basis that you need, amen, to overcome this sin-sick world and be a light for Jesus in it, amen. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you today for my brothers and sisters, for the word of God, for the promise of your faithfulness, Lord, in our lives, that you are there, you are always committed to us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, that you love us, Lord, and that you are actually for us. You're not against us, Lord. You want to see every one of us do well, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you grant us the sufficient grace every day, Lord, that we can live a life of victory. Hallelujah, because you have already overcome the world, Lord, and you have been given the name above all names. And so we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. And Lord, we pray, hallelujah, that your glory will fall upon your church in America. Fall upon us, Lord God. We pray that you will empower us and that you will strengthen us with might in the inner man, Lord God. Fill us, Lord, with your holy fire. Set our hearts ablaze for you, Lord God. Give us that holy passion that we will glorify you, Lord. Strengthen us, Almighty God. Revive your church, Lord. Awaken us, Lord God. We praise you and we thank you, God. Hallelujah. Grant us great boldness, Lord God, that we will not shrink, but that we will grow in your strength and your grace, Lord, every day, that we might be an expression of you in this world. Thank you for always being there, Father. Bless our fellowship. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.